beginning of dragons. Long, long ago, when mist wrapped the mountains and giant serpents ruled the seas, there were dragons. They carried fire, destruction, and wisdom. They were magical. They were deadly. And they were real. 8-year-old Avalon stood in a circle of jeering children, up to her ankles in muck and whirling like a dervish. Her makeshift sword, a slim tree branch, dealt blows to her tormentors' heads. None could get near her, though several had tried. "Oh, give it up, Av. You've made your point," shouted her older brother, Hawk. "Put that thing down."
"Make me,"
shrieked the little girl. Her dark blue eyes had turned midnight with rage, and her black hair hung in rat's tails down her back.
"And say you're sorry for those names you call me. I can fight as well as any stupid boy. In fact, I fight better." "Oh!"
One of the older boys had just snuck up behind her and pushed her hard. Avalon fell to her knees. In seconds they were on her, rolling her over and over. Looking at the little girl on all fours in the stinking mud, eyes wild and weapon gone, the boys began to laugh. The girls looked awkward. No one helped her up. One by one, they all left until only her brother remained. Hawk hauled his sister to her feet. "Av, you have got to stop this. Girls don't fight. They just don't, okay? Now go home to Gran and get cleaned up. You look like a she-goat who's been dumped in a privy." He sniffed. "You smell like one too." The parents of Hawk and Avalon were dead, so the children lived with their grandmother on the edge of the village. Tall as a man, she had waist-length grey hair and a horizon stare. The villagers called her a wise woman to her face and a witch behind her back because she talked to her cat, was skilled with herbs, and her predictions invariably came true. That evening, she took Avalon to the forest and tasked her with building a fire to distract her from the afternoon's humiliations. The little girl loved setting fire to things, so she cheered up fast. "You know what? This afternoon I could really have done with backup. A magician. A wolf. No. A dragon. Yeah, a dragon would have been great."
That would have shown them," agreed her grandmother, producing two honey cakes from somewhere inside her robes.
"Especially as some people don't believe they even exist."
"In my experience, those who don't believe in dragons are usually first in line to get eaten by one."
Her grandmother threw some bright purple powder into the fire and it flared up like a rocket. "Look, child. What do you see?" Avalon stared hard.
"Dragons," she mumbled, her mouth full of honey cake. "Lots of them."
"What are they doing?" "Playing," said the little girl dreamily. "What are they really like?"
"You want to know about dragons, do you? You want me to speak with the wind riders, the sky dancers, the ones who outfly lightning and whose roars drown thunder? Dragons are fearless, wise, and their knowing is older than mountains. Some call them cruel, but the truth is that human emotions simply don't affect them. Far-sighters and truth-seers, they can smell a lie on your breath at 500 paces, but win a dragon's friendship and you have a gift more precious than diamonds."
"Have they always been here?"
"For longer than memory lasts. Look, dragons saw glaciers cover our country and then retreat. They witnessed the Saxons invade our shores, the Vikings sack our villages, the coming of Christianity and the exile of the old gods. It was all the same to them. For these beings live alone, fly high, and see the bigger picture."
"So where did they come from?"
"Well, they say that dragons first became when a flock of flying reptiles were sitting in a tree at the time of the great lizards and lightning struck it. The tree burst into flame and the creatures took off into the sky, screaming as they burned. But two survived, one male, one female, and learned to breathe fire at will." She looked sharply at her granddaughter, for Avalon was now leaning in very close to the fire, as if listening. "Are they by any chance talking to you?" Without looking round, the little girl began to speak. It was not her usual voice. We say to the future of humanity, do not destroy that which sustains you. This particular pattern in the web of life will never come again.
Whoa, that wasn't me.
Sounds about right, though. Anything else? The child turned back to the flames. You humans are mere fragments of all that is. You're not as important as you like to think. Get over yourselves. That wasn't me either. Yeah, I know. Dragons have a gift of prophecy too, by the way.
Quick!
Avalon scrambled to her feet.
They want more!
What?
Wood!
We'll get some. The little girl belted to and fro, piling on more kindling, and the fire leapt higher.
More!
Her grandmother joined in, throwing armfuls of dry branches into the blaze.
More!
The fire was now so hot and wild they had to back away, and it began to spit sparks, catching twigs and dry leaves scattered on the ground. Stamp on those. The fire must stay within its limits.
What?
The little girl was looking dazed and standing far too close to the fire with a pile of wood in her arms.
Stamp on those twigs, over there, and those.
But Avalon seemed not to hear. Instead, she threw the wood she was holding onto the blaze and then scuttled about collecting more. Now she was practically standing in the fire itself. Her rough sacking dress began to smoulder and her eyelashes beaded with fire.
Oh, enough, child.
Her grandmother grabbed her by the arm and pulled her back sharply, slapping down her clothes.
Stop!
But Avalon could not. In the fire's depths, golden dragons leapt, rioted and roared, and as they danced, the little girl danced with them. Suddenly one shot into the air like a solar flare from the sun and vanished into the dark. Then another, and then another, and then another, lighting up the night with blasts of orange light. Things were getting out of hand until, abruptly, the fire simply collapsed in on itself with a slither and a rumble. And at that very same instant, the heavens opened and rain bucketed down. Avalon glanced sideways and saw her grandmother standing there with her arms raised and her head thrown back. Then the old lady relaxed and gave a satisfied nod.
That's better.
Well, you have just been midwife to the birth of five salamanders. Unusual for one so young. Avalon flumped down heavily on the grass, oblivious of the rain. She felt absolutely exhausted.
Oh, what exactly are fire salamanders anyway?
As you saw, they are fire elementals, beautiful, thoughtless, chaotic. The bigger the fire, the better the flame-born like it. The old lady waved a negligent hand at the heavens, and the rain stopped as suddenly as it had begun. They love a burning building or a forest ablaze. The more out of control, the better. If they survive the night, their fire energy may solidify into the form of a baby dragon. If not, she shrugged. They're gone.
Oh, and is it really unusual for them to, show up for somebody my age?
And even more unusual for them to speak with such a one, replied her grandmother, pushing back long, wet hair. They guard their knowledge as men guard gold. But dragon knowledge is like fire itself. It illuminates, but it also burns. You have to be careful how you use it. I mean, what they just told you. That was big stuff, Avalon. A warning to all humankind, but how to make people listen?
Well, then why tell me? Muttered Avalon. No one takes any notice of me.
But one day, her face hardened for a moment, I'm going to make them. Her grandmother laughed. Yeah, I think you will. But as to why they talk to you, well, I would say that you are what the magical ones call a dragon friend. But as to what this will mean for you, we will just have to wait and see. Avalon had dropped her shield and was using both hands to wield her sword. Her padded combat jerking was making her sweat something dreadful. Her opponent, a red-haired thug with broad shoulders and big feet called Roland, was flattening her. Their weapons were standard army issues, so too heavy for a young girl. Avalon's wrists hurt and her shoulder muscles burned. Roland landed a hefty blow on her back with the flat of his sword. Next, he faked a swing to the right, then dodged to the left, delivering a wallop on the side of her helmet, and then smashed his sword hilt down on the top of her head, making her vision blur and her ears ring. In utter desperation, she kneed him in the balls.
"Foul!" bawled Roland, doubling over. "You saw that, right? You saw what she did?"
Other fighting pairs roared with laughter. Several had finished now and they were gathering round to watch. The arms master was watching too, scowling. Personally, he wasn't against not kneeing in principle. I mean, anything that disabled your opponent, right? But this girl, in his ranks, no one had ever heard of such a thing. It was all Luther Pendragon's fault, because once, whilst fighting off a Saxon invasion in the north in England, the king had seen the legendary shield maidens of the Norselands in action and never got over it. Those women had looked like valkyries and fought like wolves. Uther couldn't wait to have a few female soldiers of his own, feeling that this would be both culturally diverse and one in the eye for the Saxons. But those girls, they'd been nothing but trouble, brooded the armour master. They'd distracted his men. They'd insisted on using the privy first every single morning. They demanded separate sleeping quarters. They'd even banned fart jokes at supper time. But he got rid of them, he remembered with satisfaction. Trained them into the ground. So one by one, they'd run home crying. Even that great blonde heifer of a woman, what was her name? Who wielded a broadsword like a man, had gone off to get married. But this one, this skinny little fury. He scratched his backside. How come she was still even here? Next day, the regiment was on a forced march through the forest in full armour, carrying all their weapons on a sticky day in August. A storm was gathering. Purple clouds blotted out the sun. Distant lightning flickered in the distance. Every soldier had a sack of corn tied to his back for extra weight training, and every shield was emblazoned with a red dragon to show they were Uther Pendragon's men. King Pendragon, father to Arthur of Camelot.
"Oh, how long do we keep this up for?"
wheezed Avalon under her breath to the soldier next to her. "What's wrong with you, sweetheart? Can't take the pace. Best trot off home to your ma and have babies. There's no room for females in our army."
"You reckon? I'll show you."
"Show me what?" "Tell you what, you can show me what you've got under that chainmail any day of the week." Avalon gave him a freezing look as best she could. Her helmet, also too big for her, was slipping down over her eyes. And then above the pounding of soldiers' feet and the jingle of their weapons, she heard something. There was another flash of lightning and a rumble of thunder, and rain began to spatter down.
"What's that?"
"What? The rain?" A threshing roar sounded up ahead of them. It seemed to be coming from the sky, and it certainly wasn't thunder.
"That, you idiot! Are you deaf or what?"
"Halt!"
bellowed the armour master, who'd heard it too. "Break out. Form circles of 10, facing outward, swords drawn, helmets down. Now!" A great wind began to blow in their faces. Their hair streamed back, trees bent, eyes watered, the rain sluiced down, the roaring grew louder. There was a sound like a thousand swans coasting into land. And then he was upon them. Like a wounded hurricane he came. Jets of fire streamed from his great red mouth. His armoured green belly passed close above their heads, and his wings were the size of massive boat sails. Strong men threw themselves on the ground, yelling. The gigantic beast ploughed through the trees to their left, tearing them up by the roots. Finally, it crash-landed like a burning meteor into the ravine that ran through the forest. The arms master was first to pull himself together.
"All right, on your feet, you lot. Get a grip, you're not dead.
Though if that creature claws its way back out again..." Trumpeting roars and raging screams testified to the possibility.
"We soon will be. Back to the castle at the double. We'll return with reinforcements. That creature has got to be killed. There's nothing nastier than a wounded dragon."
But when King Uther heard that there was a real, though wounded and therefore exceptionally dangerous dragon in the forest, he ordered them to leave it alone. The blood of dragons runs in my veins and those of my Welsh Pendragon ancestors. This beast is a sign. If it recovers, the victory of our forthcoming battle against the invading Angle army is assured. If it dies, we will have to prepare ourselves for other outcomes. No one, and I mean no one, goes near it. Ha! Go near a wounded, fire-breathing airborne. Nothing had been further from their minds. Avalon, however, knew this was exactly what she did have to do. She waited until supper time and then slipped into the great hall. Uther sat enthroned at the top table, tucking into roast pig. Eluding his personal bodyguards, the girl went straight up to the king and knelt on the floor beside him. He was so surprised he asked her what she wanted. "Sire, I was in the forest today when the dragon came down. He needs help or he'll not recover. And that, as you said, would be an unhelpful augury for the battle to come. Permit me to be the one who talks to him. Let me see what I can do." Uther took a hefty swig of mead. "You? I hear you can barely hold your own sword straight. What could you do?" "Forgive me, sire. It is true that my soldiering skills leave something to be desired. But my grandmother was a witch. She named me Dragon Friend because Far Salamander spoke with me when I was a child. Let me try and speak to him." Uther looked at her with slightly more interest and thought for a moment. "Very well," he conceded. "But do not, whatever you do, touch it. And another thing, you go alone."
"What? No backup?"
"I said alone, because you'll probably get fried, which means so will anyone who's with you. And with this battle coming up, I can ill afford to lose good men." Avalon waited till daybreak and then set out very quietly from the castle while everyone else was still asleep. She found the dragon. He was lying halfway down the ravine. One of his wings was wrenched back at a horrible angle. His eyes were shut, and he gave no sign of life.
"Excuse me?"
shouted Avalon, leaning over the edge of the ravine, then added, for want of anything better to say, "Are you all right down there?" The dragon opened a single green eye. "That is possibly the stupidest question I have ever been asked."
"Your poor chest."
For the lightning had carved a deep, charred weal across it. Raw red flesh showed through scaly skin several inches thick. There was some kind of sticky black ooze around the edges too, which smoked slightly.
"It's amazing you're not dead," gasped Avalon. "Is that really painful?"
"It is. But my tough hide saved me. Dragons have armoured skin, and mine is especially thick over my heart."
"Oh, what, to shield you from attack?"
"In a way. Not from battle, but from the pain of feelings."
"What feelings?"
"You ask a great many questions," growled the dragon, flexing his claws. "But for some reason, I feel a kind of bizarre connection with you. So I will tell you. If you must know, my mate left me. I loved her, but I was having dragon troubles which consumed me. This made me unkind without meaning to be, and she went away. It hurt so much to even think of her that I made sure no one could touch my heart ever again, including her."
"Oh, for heaven's sake, why didn't you just go after your mate and talk to her?" asked Avalon.
She slipped down the ravine until she was closer to him. "Pride, I suppose." The dragon sent an angry jet of fire into a bush and incinerated it. "Plus, I wasn't going to let anyone make me that unhappy ever, ever again. Now look where it's got me. I've had no one to love for 500 years. I've lived alone. I've even stayed away from the Citadel. You know, the dragon kingdom in the mountains where we rule unseen. But now I'm so tired of being lonely that I do not much care if I die right here. I mean, we've all got to go sometime." Avalon felt her eyes sting with tears. "You are very brave to go 500 years without love."
"Brave?"
Not really. It's a question of attitude. We dragons have a saying. Each day is what you make it. So rise with the sun and burn. Each rising sun is a gift to all who live, but to be a dragon is a gift afforded to few. Dragons, therefore, have a duty to be extraordinary. Each day we must rise with the sun and burn. So I did. Or at least, he added to himself, I endured. Avalon thought for a moment. Look, if you could feel in your heart again, if it wasn't covered with layers of extra defensive scales, might you possibly wish to try and find another mate? Or even go tell the one who left that you miss her and you're sorry? The dragon blew two puffs of pale smoke from his nostrils and watched them drift away. Possibly, he muttered. Maybe. Though I really don't see that happening. The girl scrambled closer. All right, first your wound has to heal. Once it has, we may be able to remove some of that extra armour from over your heart area. It would take a while, and yes, it would hurt. But if you have the courage, I would gladly try and help you. And if it didn't work out, you could always, you know, decide to die later. If you really wanted to still, that is. Later? The dragon raised a scaly eyebrow. He'd not looked at it that way before. I suppose such a thing can be a matter of choice, he said thoughtfully. Please, will you at least let me try? He sighed and nodded his great green head just once.
Wonderful! But first, something to eat.
Yeah?
To get back your strength. What would you like best?
Sheep. I simply adore sheep. Bring them to me alive, but do not think to betray me by leading others here. If I thought you would do so, he arched his long neck and brought his reptilian face down level with hers, I would reduce you to ash where you stood. Avalon forced herself to look into the dragon's eyes. They were wondrous. A kaleidoscope of incandescent greens. But sadness lay within them, buried deep within the shifting layers of colour and light. I will not betray you, she replied steadily. No, I see that you will not. Go now. The girl was back within hours. With her were five fat sheep herded by a terrified shepherd who fled as soon as they got near the ravine. Is that you, skinny human? My name is Avalon, actually. What's yours? Aracil the Elder. Sorry, forgive my manners, my chest hurts, and I am hungry. Brought you something. The dragon's head popped up above the edge of the ravine.
Sheep. Plump ones. Perfect. Stand back, child.
Avalon leapt away just as he blew a jet of fire at them. The sheep did not even have time to bleat. A delicious smell of roast mutton filled the air.
Any more where those came from?
Inquired the dragon, licking his lips half an hour later. Yes, and I will bring them to you daily, but you must promise to leave without harming us when you are better.
Oh, I must I?
The dragon's green eyes glowed red. Yes, said Avalon nervously, wondering if she'd gone too far. There was a heavy pause. Very well. I owe you, and my kind are honourable. We pay our debts. But never, ever tell a dragon what to do again. Not if you value your life.
Right, okay, excellent.
Ooh, that wound across your back looks smaller than yesterday, murmured Avalon, hurriedly changing the subject. We heal fast. Besides, this is a fire injury, and because we are part fire, it's not as bad as, well, as if I'd been hit by a cannonball or something. As soon as the dragon was better, and it only took him a week, Avalon arrived with churns of fresh milk piled up on a lumbering horse-drawn cart. A posse of beefy soldiers who looked like they'd rather be anywhere but there brought up the rear. Now that you're well again, I think today's the day. Are you ready to heal your heart? Well, I'm ready to try. What's with the milk? You will see. First, I'm afraid there is something else. The nasty bit. May I ask these soldiers to dam up the river that flows through the ravine to create a bath big enough for you to sit in?
Bath? I've never had a bath in my life,
hissed the dragon, his eyes glowing red again.
And I am not starting now.
Look, you need to soak in water for this first stage. It will soften things up a bit, or else the pain is going to be unbearable. Now, can we run you a bath or not? Aracil the Elder acquiesced with bad grace. Wary soldiers busied themselves damming up the river. Within a couple of hours, the water level had risen high. Think you can get into that? The dragon did so, looking like a very reluctant dog about to be washed. Avalon squatted next to him on a rocky outcrop, put on protective gauntlets, produced a wooden bucket of lye, a massive scrubbing brush, and started scraping the dragon's chest area just as hard as she could. Lye is a caustic substance and it blisters. As the stuff ate deeper into his skin, the dragon began first to fidget, then to swear, and finally to convulse.
My heart's burning. It's burning.
All of a sudden, Avalon dropped her brush and tugged hard at a loosening flap of knobbly skin. It came away slowly, like a scab from a graze. Scalding dragon tears poured down Aerosol's cheeks as he writhed in agony.
Oh, enough!
Nearly done. With one final yank, Avalon used both hands to tear the whole thing away as if ripping off a giant plaster. All the extra layers the dragon had created to protect his heart from pain came off at once. Beneath, his skin was smooth, pearly and bluey green. The girl then shouted to the soldiers to form a human chain and pass the milk churns down to her as fast as they could. Gently, she poured each one over Aerosil's chest as he huffed huge dragon sighs of relief. When she had emptied the very last one, the girl flung her arms round the great beast's neck and she hugged him. I'm so sorry. I know that was horrible. How are you feeling? He looked startled and then awkward and then beamed. It was an alarming sight. His teeth were longer than a man's arm. You know, when you hugged me just then, I did feel a kind of sweet warmth in my heart. I am glad. Well, it's bizarre, you know, because you are, well, you're human and a pale, skinny little scrap of one at that. The only humans I ever met before I never did get to know. Oh, why not? I ate them. I see. Moving on, listen, if you could now feel heart warmth when a squitty human hugs you, how much more could you feel if, say, a gorgeous lady dragon were to, well, do whatever it is gorgeous dragons do? Could you perhaps go back to the Citadel? You never know who you might meet. Or even track down the one whom you have long missed. It's not good to be alone for so long. The next morning, she returned to the ravine to find the dragon gone. The whole of the king's household came to look at where he'd been, and seeing the splintered trees, burn marks on the rocks and piles of sheep carcasses stripped there, they marvelled at what Avalon had done. Uther immediately promoted her. He also ordered a sword, which was exactly the right size and weight for his newest junior captain. But instead of this causing resentment amongst the other soldiers, there was now universal respect for her, as one who had stood alone before a wounded dragon day after day. Several weeks later, Uther was leading his troops to do battle with the bloodthirsty Angle army, which was now laying waste to the countryside 50 miles away. Most of his men were on foot. It was dawn, and the wind was rising. Two tiny winged shapes were wheeling far, far above them in the sky. They'd been following the army for some time.
Buzzards, grunted a soldier. They know when there's going to be a fight.
Avalon looked up and knew instantly those were no birds.
So
Suddenly, they swooped down like jet fighters and made three dramatic flypaths not 10 meters above the soldiers' heads. Aerosil the Elder and the beautiful bronze-coloured mate he thought he had lost forever. The columns of mounted warriors ducked down in their saddles each time they felt the wind of the dragons passing, and the infantry crouched in fear. But Avalon stood up in her stirrups, her dark hair blowing behind her like a flag. She held her sword up high in salute, and the rising sun shone all around her as she laughed aloud. "Oh, I care little what happens next," said King Uther, as he watched them fly away, his head thrown back and his face shining. "For I have seen dragons on the wind of the morning." Then the voice of Aerosil the Elder spoke inside Avalon's head. "Your first battle, child. Do not be afraid, for this day shall be what you make it. So rise with the sun and burn." Nine years later, Avalon was put in charge of training 100 female warrior recruits. They became an all-woman elite unit named the Fire Salamanders. On their shields was the image of a bright golden flame. They never lost a battle.